Hey everybody, I'm Tom Dorsey. This is the 13th of November, 2017. This is Amy Kemp, our senior analyst at Dorsey Wright & Associates, and Larissa Genosian from Armenia. This is going to be a different webcast for you. I think it's kind of interesting. Larissa has been a friend of mine for a very long time, and she has worked with DIF Brokerage in Portugal and worked in Armenia. She lives in Armenia. And what I found interesting was eventually I invited her to the Stockbroker Institute this weekend. And she came here and learned the Dorsey Wright, NASDAQ way of doing things. And it's really kind of interesting to learn about Armenia. It's a place that not many of us think about.
Right.
You know, especially I think Americans, when you think about Europe and going a little bit further, you go as far as China, Russia, but all the things in the middle here where Armenia is the crossroads of it all.
I had to Google it. I'll admit, I knew the general vicinity, but I didn't know about which countries bordered it, so I had
exactly.
to Google it to find
I had
it
to
on
Google
the map.
It too.
Embarrassed to say, but it's true.
And then type it in. Type Armenia in and then click image.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll look at some beautiful pictures of Armenia. The mountains in the background, but that's not Armenia. That's Azerbaijan.
It's right now it's on Turkish territory.
Okay.
It's mountain.
So tell us, who surrounds Armenia? Why is Armenia, how old is Armenia?
It's one of the oldest, you might find out on the map. It's more than 4,000 years old. And
more than 4,000?
Yes.
Wow.
More than 4,000 years old. So that would be 3,800 more years than the United States.
For perspective.
Yeah, right. For perspective.
It's surrounded with Georgia, Azerbaijan, like mm-hmm. you mentioned, Turkey, mm-hmm. Iran. Mm-hmm. Out of Georgia goes Russia. Mm-hmm. Then you said, but from that side of the Europe, you see only the Russian part.
Right.
And it is the crossroad between Europe, Asia, and Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
It is, when you look at the map on that, it is dead center crossroads. I mean, it's a small country, but it's dead center, and there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. How did you get involved in the markets? What was your initial path into working for DIF and working for the Armenian exchange, or educating, I guess, the Armenian exchange?
Everything begins from my student years. When I was in a university, I found out an article about the Dow Jones Index. I started to learn that, then started from my work experience on one of the Armenian banks providing the brokerage services. So I started from brokerage.
Okay.
Then step by step, go to the portfolio management and financial modeling. Working in leading Armenian banks, together with my colleague, we created an asset management business in Armenia, and cooperating with the European banks like Saxo Bank, Better Bank, mm-hmm. we were managed our clients' accounts there and investing.
Okay.
After that, I had elect and honor to meet the broker's chief operating officer, Paolo Pinto, and he was a wandering man that I found out in financial world, who said that I believe in people.
Yes.
I will visit Armenia for 3 days, we'll work with you 3 days, and then I'll make my decision of cooperating with you. And
wow.
That was the beginning.
So that is your friend, Paolo.
Paolo, yes.
Pinto.
I do a lot. I own part of DIF. As a matter of fact,
DIF Brokerage.
Yeah, DIF Brokerage in Portugal. And Paolo's a great guy. He's the chief operating officer of DIF. He runs the whole show there, basically. And he came out there and met Larissa and said, okay, let's begin working, I would say, more on a consulting basis or working for DIF. The problem, here's the problem, though. Just like our Department of Labor regulations are coming in here, they've been delayed a little bit, but they're coming. MIFID, M-I-F-E-D, is that...
Exactly.
MIFED, I think something like that, in Europe, is the same as our Department of Labor. It preceded our DOL.
Right.
But they're going through the same problems there. So now managing accounts from Armenia into Europe changes the whole ball of wax.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it different.
Mm-hmm.
So now you more introduce accounts to DIF and Russian accounts, because she speaks Russian fluently. Everyone in Armenia speaks Russian fluently.
Yes, it's the second language.
You're not even touching it. You're not even touching Russia. Why is it your second language?
Because Armenia was part of the Soviet Union, and every country during the Soviet Union period has the Russian as a second language. And we used to speak Russian living in Armenia.
So you speak Armenian also, which is totally different than Russian.
Completely different.
Completely different.
Completely different.
This is
just
a hard
as
thing.
Different as English is from Russian, probably,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
Almost totally different.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, just when you just mentioned that, tell me then, is English harder to, while you grew up with Russian, is English harder to learn than other foreign languages?
In Armenia, we start learning English from the school, like from third class.
So
English, no, but the other languages is harder because
they start you as they start you as a young person. Like, you know, my grandchild is beginning to learn Spanish already.
Mm-hmm.
She's 2 years old.
Yep.
I think she needs to learn Chinese, but why don't you learn Chinese?
It might be my next challenge.
Well,
after Portuguese.
After Portuguese,
yes.
Which is already your fifth language, so
mm-hmm.
I don't have enough brain capacity,
too
I don't
much
think, for
me.
That. Yeah.
Well, most people speak English, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, when you look at the crossroads of the Eurasian area, Tammy and I, years ago, decided that we were going to become professionals at international investing. Because we talk to advisors all the time about international investing, then we have to actually do it. So mm-hmm. I went online and opened accounts all over the world. Mm-hmm. And first requirement was to do it online, technology-wise. Not through someone, a third party or anything, just go online, talk to someone there, open the account, wire money to the account, and trade those stocks in those currencies.
Okay.
So one of the places that I opened an account, and it was because of Jim Rogers, who's a friend of mine. Jim mentioned at this point in time, this was back in 2007, that one of the places he thinks is going to be a great place to be is Georgia.
Hmm.
Now, that's not the one where it has Atlanta in it, where you typically fly through.
No, this different.
Is, yeah. You're going to go to a different part of the world when you go to this Georgia. That abuts Russia, and it abuts Armenia. So I opened an account there. Interesting enough, the exchange is open 3 days a week. It had like maybe five stocks that you could trade in.
Really?
And I said, okay, I'm doing this. I opened an account at Tablinker Securities in Tbilisi, Georgia. And the only stock I could think of to buy that made any sense to me was the Bank of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2007, what happened with the Bank of Georgia is got listed on the London Exchange. Straight through the roof.
Wow.
Best trade I had in 2007
wow.
was in Georgia. Then things began to look a little bit dicey, so I got out of Georgia, and that's about the time Russia came in.
Mm-hmm. It was 2008, August.
2008. Mm-hmm.
In what is the largest exchange then in Eurasia?
In that region, the largest probably is Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
Yes, with like $50 billion capitalization.
50 billion dollars
capitalization.
And how many stocks?
More than 1,000 stocks, including foreign ones, like 800 almost are the local ones, domestics,
mm-hmm.
and the least are the foreign stocks, mostly Russian ones listed there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They are different type of instruments, like stocks, governmental bonds, corporate bonds,
mm-hmm.
Fund units, mm-hmm. Repos, swaps,
mm-hmm.
almost
everything
the range of, yes, financial markets.
Well, I know this one also because I bought these bonds. I have purchased them, and I do purchase these bonds in Kazakhstan. They're in U.S. dollars.
Oh.
And they've paid off every time. You get a higher yield. And those of you who have customers who are interested in exploring more of the world
mm-hmm.
could look at Kazakhstan, and you could probably go through your bond department,
mm-hmm.
and you could look at those bonds in U.S. dollars. So you can invest in Eurasia,
mm-hmm.
in Kazakhstan.
Exactly.
And I think all the stands together, Tajikistan, what are some of those?
Uzbekistan.
All the stands, if you put them all together,
got them.
I think this is going to be a power in the future.
Hmm. It's the power, but it's on the seed stage of their development.
Very beginning stages
yes.
of development. Is that Kazakhstan calling?
Oh, Lord. You know, here.
He made sure we silenced our phones.
I have hearing aids. Yeah, I don't know why I did this. I should have left them on my desk. But they're Bluetooth. And
yeah.
They're the coolest hearing aids. They allow you to tune people in or tune people out if you want. So if you're at a cocktail party and you feel like listening to music, you just press music, put it in your pocket. And my phone just rang.
Yep.
You could hear it?
Of course I could hear it.
I mean, it was, but it was, am I hearing it?
I think it's both places.
But
no, you, did you hear it from here?
Of course. That's all right.
Gotta turn that
part
off.
We're real here at Dorsey Wright, you know? Not scripted at all.
Yeah, it isn't. Really, nothing is scripted. We just do it. So, what were some of the things we want to talk about?
Well, one of the most as we were talking before the video, the most interesting thing I thought that you said was that in Armenia, there are no capital gains taxes.
Yes.
So, you had said that other countries create funds in Armenia specifically for
they
that purpose.
They are interested because it's fully regulated market.
Okay.
Even though the one of the biggest German investment banks head president of the company said if they have passed the clients passed the Armenian compliance, we do not have any problem with accepting.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
it's
super
fully
stringent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. However, we have no capital gains. Only we have taxes on interest, on dividends.
Okay.
It's the only tax we have on this market. And it gives an opportunity to develop the market because we can have a lot of foreign companies, establishing companies in Armenia and listing their stocks and making financial activity.
Okay.
From the other hand, for local market, it's a chance to be developed by itself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Probably after having this stage of development, we would have capital gain tax, but right
like
now
said,
we don't have
very,
that.
Yeah, yes. In the infancy, I guess, of the development
it's
of
very
the
attractive.
Market. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For having a regulated market.
So what is the other thing that you had said I asked about, just normal investors in Armenia, right? So what kind of things do they invest in? Are they buying stocks? Are they buying fixed
mostly
income?
Mostly they invest in the bank deposits.
Okay.
It doesn't matter with local currency or foreign currency. U.S. dollar in foreign currency is preferable for them. We have deposits with euros, with U.S. dollars, with Armenian dirhams, but for foreign, U.S. dollar is preferably for them.
Okay.
The next instrument popular in Armenia, financial instrument, is governmental bonds.
Okay.
And the less interested are the corporate ones and stocks.
And stocks, just not.
Yes.
And why is that? Why is the...
Because people mostly are not familiar with these instruments.
Okay.
And that was the reason of creating a financial education project with Armenian Stock Exchange, Nasdaq IMEX Armenia.
Okay. Which you head up.
Yes.
Correct? You created.
Yes.
So it's an educational curriculum?
With Nasdaq, you have created.
Yes. With Nasdaq IMEX Armenia. Starting from 2015, I having different courses in Nasdaq, IMEX Armenia for both the beginners and the advanced. The beginners can take like simple lessons, like what is a stock, what we can earn buying stock, how to buy it, where they can buy the stocks, and to the advanced professionals like future spreads, option trading strategies, risk hedging.
Wow.
And after these 2 years, we have a unique methodology of presenting the material, like Tom Darcy says, for Labradors.
The Labradors.
I always say,
yes.
You know, the way I got that was with Hugh McCall of Falfurrious.
Yeah.
We're at a meeting one time, and he says, look, he says, give me the Labrador Retriever rendition. Mm-hmm. In other words, find a way to make it simple that we can understand this. Don't need any highfalutin languages.
Right.
Make it so I understand it. Let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a Labrador. So I tell her, it's a Labrador rendition of the whole thing.
And this methodology of Labrador Retrievers is at the stage where we are, together with my team, we are creating an investment education application mobile for making it available for everyone.
Wow.
Well,
that's amazing.
One of the interesting things that you mentioned to me this morning, it's got my head really spinning, is that Standard & Poor's is going to list the Standard & Poor's 500 on the Kazakhstan exchange.
Okay.
Now, so I'm thinking here that people are beginning to be taught how to buy stock and whatnot.
Right.
But shouldn't they be taught about exchange-traded funds instead? And what NASDAQ, I would think NASDAQ would list the Qs in Kazakhstan and everything else NASDAQ has, maybe... The education is not in stock. It's in ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
Where a person can just
beginning. Funds, yeah.
Can
yes.
just buy a fund.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if it's trading if the S&P is trading in Kazakhstan,
mm-hmm.
I can think of 1,000 things that we can do to create in
Kazakhstan.
We've got
market. Right, yeah.
Take for instance. We have if you look on our system and you all have you have access to it. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to the model page and then click on international models and stock models. What you're going to see there is models like in Sweden, Germany, France, Portugal, Britain, everywhere you can think of. You're going to see these models that run automatically. I've been using them for years on DIFF. DIFF executes my international models in the currency. If I'm in Swiss francs, Swiss francs, Swedish corona, Swedish corona, and they operate there. Why wouldn't they? I'm just thinking a lot. Why wouldn't they be wrapped up and traded on the Kazakhstan exchange, where a person in Kazakhstan says, I want to own Germany? Great. One and simple. I want to own the Standard & Poor's and Germany. One symbol. I want to own France, Germany, and the Standard & Poor's, or France, Germany, and the Q. I can see it all. Mm-hmm. It's going through my head right now.
It would be a good idea.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
It would be a good idea. For the market that has no much foreign instruments and has not much information about choosing that stocks, the ETFs, funds, this would be a good idea to have all in one.
You're the one. You need to do it. I want to cut to the chase. I mean, you know, there's no point in fooling around here. You're the one who understands it. You need to go to this exchange and make all this happen that I have swimming around in my head.
Mm-hmm. Just after finishing up the broadcast.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Right. So, Larissa, when you are not educating Armenians on markets, and what do you do for fun? What do you do? You were born in Armenia.
Yes.
Okay. And you've lived there your whole life.
Yes.
Okay. So what?
Despite the part that
but you travel quite a bit for work. Yes.
Not only
work, but also for fun.
Yes.
Great.
I do love traveling.
Yes. First time in the U.S.
No.
Okay.
Well, Richmond,
maybe?
She came to school here. If you look at her background, she has a master's degree in
World Economics from Armenian State Economic University.
Okay. Then you came to the United States.
I came to United States in 2010 to Baruch College in New York State and have the course of Advanced Risk and Portfolio Management operated by Attila Meucci, the financial specialist statistician.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, after the master's degree, actually, I had a postgraduate education in Armenian State Economic University for foreign exchanges. Then I get for Prague in Center for Economic Research for Graduate Education, again for postgraduate education. Then the official, it was Baruch College. And my last official education was last week during the institute.
At the Dorsey Wright.
As all of you, I'm continuing my education, even for this meeting.
Amy put the whole thing together. She does it flawlessly, and then she goes in and teaches it.
Yes, it's a great opportunity.
Exactly.
But even better, we get to meet people like you, who Tommy always brings, you know, interesting people from around the world that have different perspectives. And
You know, I've traveled around the world because I'm a military dependent. So my dad was in the Army, and I went to elementary school in Japan, middle school in Panama, and high school in Germany. Mm-hmm. And then I've traveled around the world. One of the reasons we follow all the exchanges in Europe, and we need to start following more like Kazakhstan and everywhere around the world, is because of my experience as what I consider a citizen of the world.
Right.
And there's a big world out there, and we follow all those exchanges. It's not just the United States. The United States might be the biggest there is, but there's opportunity everywhere you can think of. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can I buy Kazakhstan bonds and do really well there and get a higher yield with good quality bonds in U.S. dollars? I've even bought Venezuelan bonds. I own Russian bonds right now. So there's a big world out there that you can begin to open your eyes. And if you've got your own registered investment advisory firm, why not begin to put this into your mix? I would.
Right.
You know, I'd want someone who's talking at a cocktail party and saying, you know, I'm interested in buying Russian bonds, to come to me. You know?
Right.
And I'd probably go to you then and say, what do we do? You know? So, I mean, I always see opportunity everywhere I turn. I'm like a kid in a candy shop sometimes.
One of your greatest traits, yes.
What do you eat in Armenia? I think a lot of vegetables. You have a tremendous amount of vegetables.
We do have, it's very sunny country. Mm-hmm. We have like more than 300 days sunny per year.
Wow.
Yes.
300 sunny days per year. You hate it.
Wow.
You love the dreary,
I do.
Rainy. Yeah.
You're right,
I
Amy.
Love it. I love
Probably
it.
Probably you would like our mountainous country because we had a lot of Rocky Mountains.
Yep.
Yes. I'm thinking of solar.
solar power?
Wouldn't you want to have solar?
It is one of the developing areas of economies right now in Armenia.
Interesting. Because Larissa's staying with us at my house, and last night she made for us, I want to say hors d'oeuvre. It's not hors d'oeuvre. It's appetizer. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I don't like eggplant.
Yeah. Okay.
But she made eggplant that I absolutely
delicious.
Loved. I mean, it was like thin and rolled up. You had like cottage cheese in the middle.
Cottage cheese.
And then walnuts and whatever. It tasted great. I'm not one for.
Yeah.
That was the part of my life when I'm not working.
It's cooking.
I'm cooking very rare because I'm happy to have a family that cares about me much.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you've had a great stay with them. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in and videoing and teaching us something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for having me here. It's an honor to be here.
That's great. We're having the most fun you can imagine. And look behind us. It's Armenia.
It will be.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll go ahead and cut this off now.